Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming this morning. Before we jump into the Dharma talk, I just wanted to mention last night I had the good fortune of coming to the open mic night that was here. And for those of you who weren't able to attend, it was really quite delightful. I mean, it was quite wonderful to see so many people within our community who were talented in that way. There were musicians and singers and guitar players and classical cellists, and people shared poetry and other types of writings, performance. And I realize it wasn't everybody in our community who has capacities in that way, but it really was, very enjoyable and very nice to experience each other. In other words, this is a little unusual the way we often experience each other here, sitting next to each other in silence. So the same way it's nice to have other kinds of social interactions, it was really nice to see other sides of our members, some songwriters. And I hope that it will be a kind of a regular part of our community, that twice, three, four times a year we can have these kinds of nights. Good. I think, as most of you know, is anybody here new tonight, today, this morning? Okay. So most of you have been here before, but we are in many aspects of mindfulness practice, many aspects of the Buddhist teaching, and over the years we look at many of them. But what we've been really focusing on for these last probably 4, 5, 6 months, and will continue, are what are called in Buddhist teaching the seven factors of enlightenment, seven factors of awakening. And again, it is important. And let me preface this by saying there may be people here who have been coming regularly and go, "Oh no, not another talk on the seven factors of awakening. You know, I've been so many. Fred's given them, other people, other nights, mornings have given them." You know, it is that little mind of ours, right? You know, we buy our Dharma books, and then we buy another Dharma book. And then somebody tells us about another Dharma book that just came out that's really great, and we buy that. And the years go by, and we still have not mastered the practices and the teachings that were in the first book. So we have to be careful that we don't accumulate Dharma books, accumulate Dharma teachings and practices as something that we just accumulate. These practices are very, in a certain way, very simple to understand. But not that simple to live. And we will only get the benefits from living them. And so teachings that we hear, books that we read, should only be things that help us understand things better, so we want to practice more. Because that's where only the results will be. We will be cultivating these seven factors of enlightenment for our whole life. Because they are the qualities of the Buddha mind, of the enlightened mind. And they are qualities that are in us. And so we have to have that pointed out to us. How often do we have to have that pointed out to us? All the time. Because left to our own devices, we will just run on our default. And our default, unfortunately, are not the factors of enlightenment, are they? How often our default are the factors of delusion, right? The factors of misperception, the factors of mistaken notions, wrong thinking. Distraction, So we have to understand that we need to understand that our cultivation of these parts of our mind that have only caused us dissatisfaction and suffering, we have to stop doing that. But it's very hard to stop doing that if that's all we know. So we have to begin to know something else about our minds and its capabilities. And that's where we want to be putting our energy. So it's very important that we understand that we have these factors of the awakened mind already within us, and that they can be cultivated, they can be practiced. And if we practice them diligently, or more and more in our life, our minds will change. Because if I am practicing factors of awakening, then I have less time to practice factors of suffering. Right. So we need, these understandings and these places of objects of mind that we know to cultivate instead of. Right. As I've said in other talks, and it's important that we say it again, our attention always to what's wrong. Our attention always to what's wrong with me, what's wrong with my life, what's wrong with my past, our imaginations of what could possibly go wrong in our future. Right? This only creates what? Unhappiness, dissatisfaction, suffering, emotional afflictions. You know, that's all it will ever produce. And even when we seemingly work through one, another will quickly take its place. So we need to shift, right? We need to shift and really decide again, what is it that I want? You know, rather than complaining about what's growing in my garden, you know, I got to decide, what do I want to grow in my garden? And am I going to really work to plant, cultivate, and nurture so I can, you know, have those fruits that I seek? The fruits will never come from the weeds. Right. The fruits will only come from the plants that produce good fruit. And there are aspects of our mind that have that capacity. But we have to understand what they are, and we have to know how to go about cultivating them, right? I enjoy gardening. Many people say, they see my gardens and they go, oh, you know, you must have a green thumb. You know, I can't even, you know, I mean, I kill houseplants. You know, I kill the plants that nobody else can kill. And my sense is, I don't know, my thumb isn't green. I wasn't born with a green thumb. Anybody can learn how to garden, right? Again, some people might have more natural ability than others, or more interest. But again, anybody can learn how to garden and grow beautiful things, right? It's just a matter of are you willing, you know, is that what you want? And are you willing to learn and apply? And it's really that simple. In Buddhism, how strange as it may seem, anybody can be a Buddha. Okay, and when we say anybody, that includes everyone here. Everybody has the potential of a Buddha because we all have these capacities of our mind that only are waiting to be nurtured. Okay, it's no different than, continuing on the gardening analogy, you know, we all have the packets of seeds. But as long as they stay in the seed packet, they are what? Dormant. They will not grow in the seed packet. As long as our dharma is on the bookshelf, as long as our dharma is on the internet, as long as our dharma is simply in our conversations, it will not grow. The only way our dharma will grow, the only way our awakening will occur, is if we take those seeds out of the packet and plant them. Right? Where do we plant them? In our own minds. Right? And if we plant them within our own awareness, our own consciousness, our own minds, whatever we want to call this, right? this that right now is aware of me and the words. This is your mind. What is it that you want to plant in it? Right? When you are that clear about what you want to plant, and you are very clear about how to go about cultivating those aspects of mind so they will grow, and you're as clear about what you don't want to grow, what you don't want to cultivate, it's that simple. You never have to read a book on Buddhism. The Buddha never read a book on Buddhism. How did he get it? Okay, so please let us not make this too complicated. But it does imply some significant restructuring and reframing and reviewing of our life and our mind and how to go about working with it. Again, as you know, this is the Florida Community of Mindfulness, so obviously we put great store into the practice of mindfulness, right? Please remember, mindfulness is a word. And mindfulness is an English word. Mindfulness is a word that some translators, when they're looking around for translation of traditional Pali or Sanskrit or traditional words in the original countries where Buddhism has taken place and practiced and in the text, this is a word they came up with, mindfulness. I'm not sure it's the best word, because like most words, it is very limiting. So like everybody else, I went to Wikipedia. just to share with you a little bit. It says, the English, this is the Buddhist term translated in English as mindfulness, quote unquote, originates in the with the Pali term sati, or the Sanskrit counterpart smriti. Okay. The Abhidhamma, which is a Buddhist, in the Buddhist canon, the Abhidhamma is this whole literature that is based on commentaries on, it's sort of like Buddhist psychology, we might say. Sati or smriti is defined as, comes from the root meaning to remember. To remember. This is very important. You know, what were we doing this morning? We were remembering that we are sitting here. And that the sitting here involves a body. Right? We were remembering that, weren't we? So its root meaning comes from the word to remember, but as a mental factor, it signifies, this is important, so we see that it's not, we see, we tend to turn with our kind of very precise kind of technological, you know, we try to turn words into very singular kind of meanings and not really see that they are bigger than that. Right? As a mental factor, it signifies presence of mind. It's kind of beautiful, right? Presence of mind. That my mind is always present to whatever it turns to. Presence. And we know that presence is a very wonderful thing. We know that when we are in the presence of someone who is present to us, we enjoy being with that person. And we know that when we have the capacity of offering presence to whatever we're doing, it really amplifies or intensifies the experience. Right? Presence. It signifies presence of mind, attentiveness to the present. And again, as we know, that attention is very important quality of the mind. What am I attending to? What am I attending to? What do I want to attend to? So attentiveness to the present rather than the faculty of memory regarding the past, which is, again, he's just saying it doesn't mean remembrance in that way. It has the characteristic of not wobbling, not floating away from its object. So mindfulness implies a straightforward kind of relation with whatever we're experiencing. It doesn't wobble. Right? It's sort of like the wobble could mean like the flickering light, as opposed to the light that is steady. Sati means not only moment-to-moment awareness of present events, but also remembering to be aware of something or to do something at the designated time in the future. Recollection, again, another quality of mind that is essential for anybody who wants to transform or change their life, right? We have to remember, we have to recollect where I want to go, right? You know, I mean, we do that all the time in life. I need to remember, I got to remember what I'm doing today. I got to remember what am I doing next. I got to remember the directions to that house, right? I got to remember where I want to go. When I remember where I want to go, I will know when I am not where I want to go. Does that make sense? But if I don't know where I want to go, then I could just wander all over the place. Wandering all over the place is called what? The distracted mind. Anybody here have a distracted mind? Does everybody know what the distracted mind is like? Right? Yes. Anybody who ever sat down to meditate will know immediately what the distracted mind is. Right? And one will see that that is the characteristic of our minds. It is distracted. It is not. We think the problem is our thoughts, right? And if I could just get rid of my thoughts, then I won't be distracted, right? How many people think that? Admit it. Right. You know, it's the same way. I could have a great life if I could just get rid of all these people, these certain people, then I'd have a great life. Or, I could be a great meditator if the people, across the street would just turn down their music, right? Then I'd really be a great meditator. We blame this quality of our own mind on the objects that we are distracted by. We are distracted by our thoughts. Is that clear? The problem is our distractibility. The opposite of distractibility is this capacity to be attentive, to be present, to know where I want to go. When you know where you want to go, even when you move away from it, mindfulness, attentiveness arises. As soon as you know, I am not where I want to be, you are therefore at that moment what? Mindful. Right? Many people think, oh, now I got to work my way back. Right? I've really wandered so far away, but now I finally remembered, now it's like, it took me a half an hour to get here, now I got to work my way back for another half an hour. Right? We think that way. But the truth is, as soon as you notice that you are distracted, you are present, you are mindful, you're right here. At that point, all you need to do is continue on. Mindfulness is a quality of mind. So is that clear? We're cultivating the mind that is present. We are cultivating the mind of presence. We are cultivating the mind of awareness, and we are cultivating that quality where we can be attentive, pay attention to everything that's going on in and around us. It also, again, has that quality of recollection, of remembering. Where do I want to be? When there is recollection and remembering, you are clear what you want to be cultivating and what you don't want to be cultivating, right? Oh, yeah, that's a weed. I don't want to grow that. Why am I watering the weed? Right? Why am I, trimming or pruning that which I want to grow flowers? Oh, I've made a mistake here. I'm remembering what I want to grow, and I've forgotten what I don't. Am I making myself clear? It's so simple, but it only works if there is this quality of mindfulness, of recollection, of presence, right? If we're out there gardening and we're just off in la-la land, right? And you can fill in the blanks on la-la land. Everybody knows what their la-la land is. You will not notice what you're doing. You know, only afterwards would we notice. Oh, yeah, I'm practicing loving kindness. That wasn't very kind, what I just said or did, was it? How much better if we remembered that beforehand, right? That we go through our day with that mindfulness of where we want to be, how we want to be. Again, it is good that after the fact we have noticed, but at a certain point we want to know before the fact. So when these things arise in our mind, when we hear these words that want to speak, when we feel our body wanting to do something, we remember, because we know what's going on, and we know the results of, and we know we're off, and so we don't do it. But without mindfulness, without the light turned on, that's another way of looking at mindfulness, it is the light turned on. Then everything is clear. So, mindfulness, presence of mind, attention, recollection, remembering, these are all involved in this word smriti or sati, which is just translated very narrowly as mindfulness. Is that clear? And if we interpret it too narrowly, we will wonder why we miss so much. We don't want to narrow our minds, right? We can be doing the dishes and know we're doing the dishes, but also be aware of what's going on around us. We can be present to the whole situation. Don't think your mindfulness is something very narrow. Now again, the narrowness is called concentration. Okay. Concentration is a very specific aspect of meditation. It is also one of the factors of enlightenment, one of the factors of the enlightened mind, which everybody in here can cultivate. Right? In the time of the Buddha, there was a sweeper who came to him. The sweeper is a lower class in India. They're a low caste. Right? A sweeper. Totally uneducated, didn't know how to read, didn't know how to do anything. All he didn't know how to do was sweep. Right? Couldn't even understand the Buddha's teachings. But he came to the Buddha. He said, can I attain enlightenment? Even though the fact I am of low caste, all I know how to do is sweep. I really can't really make heads or tail of this Buddha Dharma that you teach. And the Buddha said, of course. Right? And he taught him very simply that with every sweep, he just say to himself something, as I sweep away the dirt or the dust, I sweep away all negative thoughts. And then just sweep them away until your mind is empty of all of them. And this is what he did. And he achieved a deep kind of awakening, just by practice of mindful, aware sweeping, and turning that exercise of sweeping into an exercise in concentration. In the same way, we have Sanskrit words like smriti or palisati in Buddhist meditation. That's called samatha, samadhi, if you, you know, hear these words. And the object of, you know, why do I have to concentrate? Why do I have to develop the capacity to concentrate? Because the concentrated mind quiets and calms the mind. Right. It's as simple as that. If we want a calm mind, if we want a peaceful mind, if we want a stable mind, then we have to introduce something into the mind that will produce that. It will not just happen by itself. Has anybody noticed that? Now again, this is not the concentration of yogis up in the mountains, or, you know, living in retreat centers, you know, where they have no distractions and they can, you know, fine-tune their concentration. We are lay people. We lead active lives. We got a lot going on. So we need to learn to bring that capacity of concentrating to many of the activities of our life. We can concentrate on what? On brushing our teeth, can't we? Mindfulness reveals to us, oh, that's what's going on right now. You know, I was 3 days in the future. No. Brushing teeth is what's going on. Making the choice to stay focused on brushing the teeth, on the awareness of that, turns that normal everyday activity into a exercise in developing concentration. If the mind is concentrated on something, then it is, right? It is not what? Going off in a million different directions, right? Now, one might say, you know, but a lot of the million different directions I go, they're just kind of benign. I'm just kind of rambling, thinking about what's going to happen today, and, you know, what happened earlier. You know, it's not bad, right? Many people say, yeah, that's what we say. I mean, what's so wrong with that, right? In a certain sense, nothing is wrong with that. What is wrong is we are cultivating, at that moment, the mind of distraction, the mind that is not concentrated or mindful, right? So when we want to have a mindful, concentrated mind, it is not available to us. Why isn't it available to us? Because we haven't developed it. Again, when you say, well, I'm just distracted, I'm thinking about, you know, what I got to do today at work, or I'm brushing my teeth, thinking what I want to wear today, or thinking what somebody said to me yesterday, or, you know, again, benign, but a lot of times, our distractible mind, our mind that goes wherever it wants, wanders into territory that is not healthy for us. Is that clear? It'll wander into places of affliction, of high negative emotionality, of stories and melodramas that just keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. Right? And if we have not developed the capacity of mindfulness and concentration, we will wonder, how did I end up here? And I can't stop it. I can't stop it because I don't even recognize that I am in an afflictive mind state, right? I think I'm just in a, you know, a good old melodrama that I'm right in. And they're wrong in, right? And it just feels so, you know, we don't see it for what it is. So it is very important, therefore, that we cultivate mindfulness and concentration as much as we can. Are you going to do it all the time? No. Could you do it some of the time? Could you do it more than you used to do it? Could you make an effort throughout the day to be mindful of? Can you make an effort during the day to pick a lot of times to really concentrate the mind? The more your mind is able to do that, you will find your mind will be calmer, more peaceful. You will feel greater stability, right? And it will all because of your efforts in mindfulness and concentration. Many people are frustrated because they have read the books, they have heard the talks, they've even set the intention. Today, right, like Brian invited us, right? Let me live in mindfulness today, right? Is that what you said? Something like that. Or no, I mean, what did you say? You said, what? Mindful something or other. This is a new day. We vow to go through it in mindfulness, right? 2 minutes later, what? Why is that? Because setting the intention moves us in a certain direction, but there has to be support of that movement, and that can only come through practice of mindfulness and concentration, which brings up another aspect of a factor of awakening, of the awakened mind, and that is what is called diligence, what is called, in a nicer way in Buddhism, joyful effort. Right? There has to be some energy, some enthusiasm, some interest in, you know, in wanting to transform, in wanting to be more wakeful, in and therefore understanding that mindfulness and concentration are aids to that, will make my life better, will make me a happier human being, will make me a better person. If I don't understand that that is what I'm doing, and if I don't understand that the way I get there is through these practices, then there will be no energy behind doing it. And again, we will resort always to the default. Each of us has a very powerful default. It is simply what? The way we've always done things. Right. The way we've always thought about things, the way we've always reacted to things, the whole content of the way our mind has been conditioned to be. The emphasis here is on conditioned. This is not the mind that we were born with. Actually, our parents, whether they knew it or not, at our birth, gave us an incredible gift. They gave us our original natural mind. And when we were born, you know what? It was empty. It was totally empty. It was just aware, just present. That is an incredible gift. That was given to us by our parents, and they didn't even know that. They didn't know how to make it. They knew how to make a baby, but they didn't know how to make awareness. That was the gift that was transmitted unknowingly. But it is the most wonderful gift, because within it, it is free of all content. It is free of all conditioning. And therefore, it is very open and spacious, and that is why children have this wonderful capacity to be what? To be happy with the simplest things. To take joy in the simplest things. To have incredible enthusiasm for the simplest things. Those are characteristics not of children, those are characteristics of the natural mind that we all have. But unfortunately, over the years, this mind, again, what is this mind? That which is listening to me right now, this is your mind. Right? Is everybody clear? This mind right now that is listening to me, this is your very own mind. Right now, if you are fully present and aware and just listening, it is a mind that is what? Relaxed, present, open. I mean, hopefully there's not a lot of drama going on in your mind right now, right? Not a lot of emotionality, right? You're not angry about what you're hearing. You're not sad about what you're hearing. You're not scared about what you're hearing. You don't have a million thoughts about what you're hearing, right? You are just what? Listening, taking it in. And you don't have to do anything. It's very easy, isn't it? You might even be understanding what's being said, again, effortlessly. This is all the capacity of your natural mind. You don't have to do anything. But yet, just like that, we could go off, right? Oh! Gee, I'm really angry at that person. I can't believe what they did. You know, and before you know, we're off. Or we can go off to a worry, you know, 3 days from now, or maybe, I'm worried about things that may happen 20 years from now, or, right, I remember an incident, it makes me sick, right? Just like that, we can what? Leave the present, leave this open, spacious, aware mind, and just wander into all this kind of constricted, emotional, neurotic, go on and on, right? That's all going on where? Within our own mind. And we can recondition. We can uncondition. But it will only occur if we are what? Diligent. There has to be that energetic application. And again, not as something negative, not as something enforced. I mean, a lot of people, they see their spiritual practice as something that's sort of like, eating your vegetables when you're a kid or something. You know, it's like, you know, there's like something you're forced to do because you're told it's good for you, or you're told if you don't do it, you'll get punished or something. But it's something you have a deep resistance to. Hopefully for many of us, we grow up. At a certain point, we what? We learn to enjoy eating vegetables. Right? It can become an enjoyable experience, eating vegetables. Right? Even though when we were children, we remember that it was the opposite. Our energetic movement of our practice of concentration, of mindfulness, should be positive and enthusiastic and joyful. Why? Why? Why would our doing this not be seen as a discipline that's imposed that I'd really rather not do? What would you rather do? Ruminate from now to the end of time? I mean, do we really love our excessive rumination? Endlessly obsess over and over again about negative things? 10, 20, 30, 500 times? I mean, is that really what we want to do the rest of our life? I don't know. You know, do we want to be unhappy the rest of our life? Do we want to be dissatisfied the rest of our lives? And the answer is what? No. Well, if we really are honestly and have come to the conclusion by our own personal introspection that we don't want this to continue forever, then we have to begin to look around. Is there a way out? Right? Is there a way out of this? Is there another way? You know, that's called what? You know, what many people here have probably been involved in, or maybe involved in now. We enter a spiritual search, we might call it. Right? We shop around. Right? But what are we shopping for? What? Another way of living. A way of living thinking, acting, speaking, behaving that produces goodness, that produces well-being and ease and happiness in myself and something I can share with others, right? Isn't that what we're shopping for? Anybody ever go shopping for something? Right. Let's say you're shopping for a car. Right? And what do? You go out and you research, and then you go out to the dealers and you test drive, right? And if you really are looking for a new car and feel you really want or need a new car, when you finally get into that new car, when it's yours, how do you feel? Happy. Right? Happy. And there's nothing for the first couple of weeks that gives you more pleasure than driving around in your new car. Driving takes some effort, but you're happy because you really love your new car. Okay. Again, our practice, our Dharma practice should be this way. Our spiritual practice should be this way. And we can only, find that place of joy and happiness when we reflect in this way. How happy I am that I found a path in this life, right? That can lead to well-being. How happy I am that now I understand about my mind, and I understand about how it's been conditioned, and all my identification that I'm this kind of person and that kind of person, and who I am and who I'm not, is all just fabricated by my mind. It's just my conditioning, and I can transform it according to a very tried and true methodology. I don't have to make it up. It's all right here for me. And beside that, I'm not alone. There's a whole community of people who are going this path with me and can support me and give me fellowship. You know, how happy I am. But again, you won't find that happiness unless you reflect in this way, unless you are mindful, unless you recollect the truth of what I'm saying. But for yourself. Right? As long as we are always reflecting on what's wrong, as long as we're reflecting on the problems of our life, as long as we're reflecting on our fantasies about the negative things that could happen in the future, I mean, as long as we're just, you know, endlessly going through our issues and our problems and our, you know, it will never get better. What will it? How could it get better? Right. A weed, no matter how much you cultivate it, prune it, will always be a weed, won't it? If you want to grow beautiful things, you have to plant beautiful things, and you have to cultivate beautiful things, and then they will just fruit naturally. When we recognize that we have these seeds of awakening already in us, mindfulness, concentration, deep looking, ease, joy, you know, concentration, etc., and that all I need to do is what? Identify them and work them. That's all. Practice. And practice happily, with joy. Many of us, we grew up in a culture where, for many of us, work is kind of joyless. Right? We often resist or resent having to work. That's too bad, isn't it? Because we spend a lot of time of our life working. But everybody spends. I mean, birds spend a lot of time working. Squirrels spend a lot of time working, don't they? I mean, they're, you know, every day they're out there working. You know, do squirrels get up and go, oh my God, another day. I'm going to look around for acorns and deal with all those other lousy attitude squirrels and keep one eye looking up for the hawk, you know what I mean? It's Right? That'd be one miserable squirrel, wouldn't it? Yeah. Again, fortunately, squirrels don't have a great capacity for thinking. So they just do what they do. So again, many of us have a bad attitude about doing things. And we are also lazy, right? We think this is too much effort. This is easy. Because this practice of mindfulness for lay people is a practice that we do in our daily life. We don't have to alter anything. We just have to cultivate presence, concentration, insight. And everything will take care of itself. So we have no excuses. People often say to me, you know, I really had a very difficult time practicing this week. I just had too much going on. I mean, what does that mean? We're still breathing. We're practicing, let's say we're practicing mindfulness of the body breath, right? Well, whatever you're doing, your body and your breath are still here, aren't they? I mean, what got in the way of just being aware of that? Even as you were going around your 25 activities. We are fortunate. This practice we have, we can bring with us to every area of our lives. Right. Whatever you're doing, be fully present to it. When you are fully present to whatever you're doing, and if you have 50 things today to do today, if you are present and concentrated on everything you were doing as you were doing it, you are practicing. You're a wonderful practitioner. You may be more present than the person who's spending the day in meditation and they're just drifting around in their daydream. So we all have incredible capacity to practice and to wake up. And please don't use the excuse of the external conditions of my life make it impossible. This is a practice of the mind. Whatever you do every day, wherever you work or don't work, nobody needs to know what you're doing. They just see the external, but internally, if you are cultivating mindfulness, if you're cultivating presence, if you're cultivating remembering where you want to be, you're cultivating creating stability by being attentive, paying attention to whatever you're doing, and also, again, recollecting where you want to be. So you're just bringing yourself back. When you're on the wrong road, you bring yourself back. You get on the right road. It's not a big deal. Is it? No. Any questions? Any questions about how to anything that was said today? We talked about mindfulness, we talked about concentration, we talked about joyful effort. Three out of the seven. Those three will produce incredible benefits. Yes.
So, yeah. We have a lean heart, and something in the past we did to, and it just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
You know, so you meet it with a leaf on her, and because you didn't pull it out by the roots,
yeah.
Back.
Right.
How do you pull it out?
There you go. Well, that's another whole Dharma talk, but I'll answer you. I mean, yeah. So the question was, yeah, the question is, yeah, some weeds, small weeds, a weed whacker can cut it down. Some weeds, especially really noxious ones, often have deep, deep roots. Right, and so you whack them down, and then they come back, and you whack them down. So what do you do with that? And you're absolutely right. We want, the key is liberation. The key is freedom. And you're absolutely right, just pruning all the time, or cutting them back to ground, and then they grow right again, is really not liberation from. It's kind of a temporary liberation, because for a short time we don't see it, and we feel, oh, I'm free of it, you know, and then all of a sudden you realize it's coming back. You're absolutely right. So, again, I didn't go into the other factor, another factor, which is deep looking. Right? And this is again, a wonderful factor. Again, why, what is your name again?
Tamara.
Yeah. I mean, why do you even say what you just said? It's because you are mindful. You are aware. Assuming your mindfulness has revealed to you there is some kind of afflictive mind state or emotion that arises in you. It causes you suffering, and you'd rather not have to experience it. So your mindfulness reveals that to you. That is important in and of itself, because now you know when this mind state arises, I got to deal with it carefully. Right, if I just whack it down, it's just going to come back, right? And that's why oftentimes we often have obsessive thinking. It's just, you know, it comes up, we whack it down, it comes up, we whack it down, and it goes on 100 times in a day, because we haven't really got to what's driving it, you know, what's the juice of it. And you're absolutely right. There are many things, certain things, because of their juice, because of their power, which we've given it, stay around. And those things need to be then made, in and of themselves, the focus of our mindfulness and concentration, and then our deep looking. Deep looking means we look under. Right? You have to, at that point, there's a real stopping. You know? In other words, if you are driving somewhere and you realize, and you really kind of know your route, but you thought you were daydreaming for a moment, all of a sudden you find yourself on the wrong road, you would do what? Quickly just stop, turn around, get back on the road, no big deal. But if you were lost tomorrow, and you really had no idea where you were, you'd pull over, wouldn't you? You know, I gotta, you know, hold on. Let me see if I can find out where I am, you know, try to remember where I'm going and see how to get there. You see, it has to be more stopping and a more willingness to kind of, you know, look into this matter. And again, in our tradition, it's not just a insight, intellectual kind of figuring out. It's really, let's say, you know, we'll just call X whatever it is you're talking about, right? It's, you know, are you willing to stop and be present to your own body, mind, and just feel what is going on within me? Am I willing to stop and just be present to what I'm experiencing? And your mindfulness and your ability to concentrate, to stay with that, will reveal that there's a part of you that's upset about something, and that upset could be lots of things. Right? But the first thing is you want to be able to touch that within you and be able to be present to it. Most of us do not do that, and when we do that, we do not like to stay there because those feelings and mind states are unpleasant, aren't they? But again, just like with that weed, you know, little weeds are easy to pick out. There are certain weeds, such as potato vine and some others, that stink weed. You know, there are some things that take a little more work, right? And so we have to be willing to understand that I'm dealing with something deeper and bigger. But first, I want to be present to it. And just acknowledge to myself that the reason it keeps going over in my mind, because there's a part of me that is, you know, unhappy, sad, disappointed, feels betrayed, lonely, you know what I mean, whatever it is. And we want to discover that within ourselves, right? Now again, the deep looking is really looking at causation. Now usually we, you know, our usual way is, well, I know what the cause is. The cause is him, you know, what he said or she said, or, you know what I mean, or the situation. I mean, that's where we go. But we really understand. But that mental, negative mental state, whatever we want to call it, is arising in you. So you have to understand, no, there's something about why, about me, that I've grabbed onto this situation and are playing it in a certain way, right? And I want to be able to see that that is going on in my own mind, right? Whatever the situation is, whatever the person did or didn't do, that's just a fact. Something happened. But the response, especially this deep response, is it's touching something in me. And your deep looking allows you to get just what you said. I got to get down into the roots. I got to get underneath the surface, or else it just keeps growing. It keeps going back and back. But when I understand what's really going on, and I can look deeply and understand the cause, I can understand, you know, maybe I'm just not accepting the situation. Right? You know, maybe I'm just not accepting that this person is who they are. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of times it's like that. I'm stuck somewhere. That's often where we're, you know, I'm holding on to something. I don't want to accept reality as it is. I want it to be different. Right? And so we see that the cause, the person is just the person, and what they said or didn't say or the situation is what it is. But this strong response is going on within me. And that's where it begins. It doesn't mean that in this situation, relationship, whatever, there's not something that needs to be done, right? But most of us, we deal with these things when we're emotionally distraught, right? When we are emotionally distraught, are you at your best? Are you at your clearest, most perceptive? No, probably you're at the opposite, aren't you? And that's the problem, right? So therefore, then that's why we act out, you know, coming from this emotional place within ourselves that's very cloudy and distorting things, right? And then we just make things worse often, or at least don't make things better, do we? Yeah. So again, that is why this... This mindfulness, concentration, deep looking is very practical, right? Because it allows you to first take care of where the suffering is within you. And when you can come to a place of resolution in that, right, and you understand what's going on within you and why this is causing such an emotional reaction, and you have taken care of or calmed that place within yourself, then you're able to go to the other person or deal with the situation in a much more open way and clearer way. So this is not one of the things, you know, people say, oh, well, the problem's always within me, and, you know, no. I mean, life presents lots of issues, you know, but it's saying the suffering is within me. And Buddhism is about the cessation of suffering. That's what it's about. Does that help? Good. Thank you. Good. So it's almost noon. So we should stop. So please cultivate mindfulness, concentration, and diligent effort. Don't just treat this like a Sunday sermon. Take it with you.